Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Black Urban America. We're here for another week. I'd just like to say hello to the audience. And Black Urban America is sponsored by We Talk Productions. I know I don't say it every week, but I figure I say it this week. Black Urban America come on every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm your host, Kenny Jones. On Saturdays, we have Provocative Thought by Carter Snead. His show airs at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. And we have a new program called the Marketing Partnership Program. I've been pushing that for a few weeks now, where it takes self-employed people and small business owners and take your product or service and give them national and international exposure, which will have an impact on your products and service. Now, tonight, we're going to have a series. I know every Tuesday evening we have a serious topic and everything, but this evening is very serious because we talk about young Black men, very young Black men. I'm talking about 16 and above, 16 to 25, 16 to 30. You know, young Black men since the 80s have been involved in a high rate of unemployment, involved in drug dealing and gangs and violence, you know, which had impacted many African American neighborhoods across the United States. I have a brother and father that have a solution. And I just want to say one thing before I bring them on. I feel that the educational system in the United States of America has failed young Black men. And I also feel that most of the schools is just a pathway to the prisons. When you have a high rate of youth violence and unemployment, drug dealing, and gang. In fact, let me tell you this. Only 62% of young Black men graduate from high school versus 82% of white males. Right there, that's a result of institutionalized racism. If you want to know the definition of institutionalized racism, guess what? That's one of the definitions. When you take an educational system that promises a fair education, equal playing field, and this is the result, it's only a little over half that young Black men that graduate from high school. If they do graduate from high school, what skills do they have? Not everyone is college bound. Not everyone is a scientist. Not everyone come from an affluent family that they have a business waiting for them. A lot of times we gotta start from the ground up. This evening, I welcome Mr. David Francois.
It's David Francois.
I almost had it. Welcome to Black Urban America.
Thank you so much, Kenneth. For your wonderful and warm welcoming introduction. I really appreciate being on your show.
Thank you for coming on, and I appreciate you for your service and try and teach these young men skills that they could utilize for themselves, not only for themselves, but for the community. Why don't you tell the people in radio land across the country what you're doing in Florida?
Well, what we're doing here in Florida is something quite unique. And what I wanted to bring back to the community is, again, I want to start off by saying, I started off in the construction industry at the age of 10 years old. My dad was a entrepreneur himself, and he started off as a block mason. He wanted to work for a company at first when we first came to Florida. He was one of the fastest block masons in Orlando. He actually gained that notoriety. And a lot of the companies loved his work and his quality. I was in school during that time. Whenever I would be, you know, have a little, you know, I would say scenario, you know, in my classroom, my teachers would always say, you know, Mr. Francois, you know, your son, he's a great student, but the minute you give him about 15 minutes of alone time, you know, he's going to cause chaos in class. So my punishment was on the weekends, my dad would make me go jump in the truck with him. Construction was actually a punishment for me. I actually grew up hating construction because of that. It wasn't until I actually graduated high school and my dad gave me the ultimatum. You know, he said, look, you're going to go either to the military or school. I don't care which one you go to or which one you choose, but you're going to go to one. I decided to go to school and I went to college. And after graduating from college with an architectural engineering degree, I decided to say, hey, well, you know, this was something easy for me because I was already practically knowledgeable about construction. So that kind of gave me an edge on most of my colleague students in the classroom. And from there, I took over the construction business from my dad. My dad retired, and I was very knowledgeable to the point to where it became very easy for me. We started off by just doing residential construction. My dad also did a lot of commercial construction as well, so that gave me the step up to actually do some commercial bidding and commercial estimating as well. And right before the real estate market took a dive here in Florida, well, actually all over the United States, around 2004, 2005, right around that time frame, my partner and I decided to get all of the GC licenses necessary to do a 40-foot high rise.
Wow.
That was very successful. We decided to say, hey, listen, let's go a step further. You know, once here in the state of Florida, if you have four general contractors licenses, that allows you to get what they call a PV license. PV license allows you to have a certified school to where you can actually teach other subcontractors to become general contractors. So basically, we have the power to pre-qualify subcontractors that want to step their game up and, you know, basically get rid of the middleman and just go directly from being a subcontractor to a general contractor. Once we were able to accomplish that and we had about 400 students graduate from our program taking their state board exams, we decided to go a step further and open up Ox School of Construction Resource Center, which is a 501(c). We got our nonprofit status on point, and then from there we decided to say, let's take this a step further for the community because there's a lot of young men that kind of was raised the same way I was raised. Now they're dealing with a situation to where they don't know exactly where to go now in 2017, because like you said in your introduction, there are quite a few young people that are getting ready to graduate high school that they cannot afford to go to a four-year university. They cannot afford to go to either a two-year college just to get an associate's degree before they go into a four-year university. So we decided to say, let's assist them in learning a master trade because, you know, my dad was a tradesman. He raised nine kids. I'm the sixth child of nine kids. I have six sisters and two other brothers. He was able to put all nine of us through college. We decided to say, hey, we can return the favor or pay it forward, if you will, and help other young people make those same decisions to where they can actually still accumulate a really good income, take care of their families, and later on leading up to starting their own business. So Ox School Construction Resource Center is a very unique infrastructure, which we want to take to all the neighborhoods in the United States. Our long-term goal is to open up a campus in all 50 states for, like in Detroit, for example. As we know, we've been hearing a lot on the news, Detroit is very depressed properties, a lot of broken communities. Chicago is another place. I remember when they had the Hurricane Katrina, Fifth Ward, was completely demolished. And now you see a lot of these white people actually going into these same communities, projects or hoods, if you will, and they're buying out these properties. They're buying back the block. So we need to do the same thing. We need to take the responsibility of doing the same thing and purchasing back our block, renovating our block, and again, supporting each other as far as contracting is concerned, because someone has to rebuild those homes. And if we can rebuild those homes again, we don't. I remember when I used to live in California, they used to say, why move out of the hood? Why not just turn your hood into Beverly Hills? You don't have to go running to move into Beverly Hills and try to live next to, John Doe or whoever you want to call him, or some rich person. Why not just turn our community into that? And that's what gave us the inspiration to really move forward with making sure that we educate these young people, get these young guys off the block, because, again, they're frustrated. You push someone's back against the wall, they have to do something to make ends meet so that way they can feed their families. And a lot of these young men, they're starting families early, because of their lack of knowledge. Some of them have two or three baby mamas and whatnot. And by the time they get to 25, to 30 years old, they're realizing that the mistakes that they made as a youth, they seem like they cannot, combat that. So we decided to teach these young men, take these young men by the coattail and teach them the game. We teach them the game and say, listen, you don't have to be out here selling drugs. You don't have to be out here bopping somebody over the head or carjacking someone. You can take the same, if you have the will to actually go out there on the streets at 5 to 5 o'clock in the morning, sun up to sundown to sell drugs, you obviously have an entrepreneurial spirit. Why not take that same amount of energy and do something positive and create your own business and be CEO? You obviously CEO acumen. Why not just take that same amount of energy? And the only difference is the product is different. Instead of you selling drugs or marijuana or cocaine, the new product is now block or stucco, or you can be a master roofer, or you can be a master drywall man, or you can be a master plumber. Everyone in the world is always going to need a plumber. Everyone in the world is always going to need a roofer. Everyone in the world is always going to need someone to maintain their most valuable asset, which is your home. Your home is your most valuable asset. So there's never going to be a shortage of work. So if we can take these young men and women, doesn't necessarily be young men, but I want to address most of the young men that are listening to your show right now, but also young women that have engineering acumen, or they may want to be draftsmen or architects. We are enrolling these students as well, and we want to just make sure that we pay it forward and be able to teach them, look, you can start your own business. You don't necessarily have to have a 4-year college degree. Long as you have a GED or a diploma, and you can read, and we can teach you how to read a set of blueprints and translate that blueprint into actually physically building a structure or renovating a structure or repairing a structure, you can make really good money in this industry.
Let me ask you something, Brother David. Why are local school districts adopting this philosophy? Why do you think that the school districts are not really investing the resources for these young men to learn these skills?
Well, it's like what you said. Again, going back to your introduction, you mentioned that the public school system has failed us, has failed our young people, These young people are very frustrated because, again, you know, they can't find jobs. I even know college students that have graduated from college right now with college degrees that cannot find a job. You know, I have a lot of military buddies that are coming back from deployment. You know, they were sold the pipe dream of, hey, you know, go and go into the military and join the military, and we're going to pay for your college and things of that bill. You got your GI Bill and things of that nature. They're coming home, and if they have PTSD on their medical service record, they can't even get a job because they're considered a liability to any corporation here in the United States. But and going back to, again, your statement in your introduction, why is the school system failing our young people is because I remember when I was in high school, we had woodshop class. I graduated right. in 89. You know, mm-hmm. we had woodshop class. We had home economics classes. We had drafting classes. We had, you know, these basic skills that inspired us to say, hey, you know what? I'm pretty savvy with my hands. I'm really good at my hands. I really don't really like college, but I know if I can be a great carpenter, you know, I can make a lot of money as a framer. I can make a lot of money as a roofer. I can make a lot of money as, you know, whatever.
A mechanic.
You
know, all the mechanics.
Yeah. Mechanics, exactly. You know, there. I remember. Yeah, we had auto shop when I was
right.
in school. But they've removed these programs out of the public schools. And when they did that, that is when the down spiral took place, you know. And
right.
these schools, like you said earlier in your introduction, it's a pipeline from high school. As long as you take your here in Florida, they have something called an FCAT. All you have to do is pass the FCAT because, again, a lot of these schools are failing with C's and D's and E's and F's. That means that these students, that gives you an indication that these students don't care because these teachers are basically glorified babysitters. And the teachers are frustrated as well because they're not getting paid. They're not being respected as teachers. Again, when I was in junior high and high school, we respected our teachers. You know, our parents were
right.
very involved. They were going to PTA meetings. And I also want to speak to your listeners. If you're a parent, you know, you want to be involved with your kids' education. You know, you got some parents now, it's like children raising children. Children
sure
raising
is.
Children,
sure.
you know,
yeah.
so to the parents out there that's listening, if you have a teen child and you're not involved and you're not talking to the teacher on a daily basis or on a weekly basis and going to the PTA meetings and being involved and letting your voice be heard, you want to have a vested, your son and your daughter is your vested interest to making sure that they are going on the right path educationally wise. And you want to nurture that. You know, so some of these parents, not all parents, my parents was very involved. My parents were, you know, like I said, my dad was very involved. Whenever the school called home, my parents were there in the principal's office with me, and they made sure that my discipline was executed, you know, to the letter. My dad had no problem with pulling off that belt off of his waist and
mm-hmm.
putting it on my backside. You know, so I was one of the fortunate, young men, you know, that a lot of my other friends didn't have a father in the home. And mom is trying to work two jobs to make ends meet. And that left the children home to, you know, to sit home and
for themselves.
Do negative things. Exactly. So they were either home playing video games like Xbox and PlayStation and all these negative games like Grand Theft Auto. And so these things that were infiltrating our young people's minds transitioned or manifested into them going out in the streets and finding, Mr. Kingpin pulling their coattail. Hey, young blood, you know, you can make fast money. You know, come with me. You know, let me show you the game. Let me show you how to get this money. You know, and once they got caught in that realm, then again, they were a target. They were a target for the police. They were a target for the negative stereotypes that the community has placed on our young people. And our young people became under attack. You know, so we want to be able to take these young men and women, again, young men that are, you know, like I said, these young men are spending more time, 7 to 8 hours playing video games. You know, there's no
wow.
way you're going to grow up to be a solid citizen in the community if you're constantly You know, again, if you're like, I have a son myself, my stepson actually, and I stopped him from playing video games. I punished him one day, just to give you a tidbit of a quick story. He was playing video. I caught him. I said, listen, I'm not going to allow you to do that. I showed him a video. I saw a video on YouTube where in Japan, they have kids that are 11, 12, 13 years old. They can actually take apart bolt, screw, and washer, an Xbox, and put it back together, bolt, screw, and washer. I told my son, I said, until you can do that, you will not be able to touch this Xbox game to play it again until I went to the pawn shop. I purchased one that was kind of, you know, secondhand. And I said, until you can show me that you can take this Xbox game apart, bolt, screw, and washer, and put it back together, bolt, screw, and washer, you will then be able to play this game again. And what I was trying to do was send a message or put a light bulb in his mind, say, hey, maybe you can be the next Mark Zuckerberg. Maybe he can, you know, say, hey, you know what? I can design a better game. Let me be a manufacturer. Let me be a producer of this particular product. And then you can be, again, like I said, you can be the next Mark Zuckerberg. If that's your acumen, if you're really good at playing these video games, then be a producer of a video game. Learn how go to take a computer class, learn how to program, learn how to write a program, a video program, to where you can actually create your own game, and then we can put it out in the market and create a business, a viable business for the community. You know, because again, if you inspire your friends that are also gamers, you know, then from there you can actually be the next person, John Madden, for example, who's got all these video games that's out there, and you could be the next Microsoft guy or whatever. So again, just to inspire, we have to inspire our young people. If that's what they're good at, nurture that and inspire it. So that's what I was doing with my son, you know. And I said, you're not going to sit here for 8 hours playing this game, and then, you know, being brainwashed, and then again, you've accomplished nothing. You had fun, but you accomplished nothing.
Life is not all about fun either. Let me ask you something else. You touched on parents. It appears that many of our parents from low to moderate income neighborhoods, how can I say it? I don't want to say equipped, but it appears they really had given up on their sons when they get 16, 17, and 18 and start running the streets. How can we change that attitude of the mom and or the father, if the father's involved, to change their attitude about how they are parenting their sons? And the reason why I'm focusing on sons, because I read somewhere that black young ladies are doing much better than black young men. So that's why I'm really focusing on black young men. You know, how can they change their methods of parenting in raising and parenting their sons? And mind you, your father started you at 10. So how can they change their attitude? Because like you said, some of them are working two jobs or some of them not working. And some of them are single parents. So maybe they don't know. So how can they change their attitude in their parenting their son or giving them, providing them motivation to look elsewhere than the streets?
Well, first of all, I want to say this. I want to give respect due to all the single mothers out there, all the single strong mothers. I mean, I'm talking about the Harriet Tubman type sisters out there. Mm-hmm. And Latinas también. Like I said,
yeah.
I also speak Spanish. But,
yeah.
You know, if the
black and brown,
single mom,
right.
You know, I respect that. I respect that. But again, we have to understand from a biblical standpoint of view. I won't get too deep in the biblical standpoint because I don't know what, you know, someone's faith is. However, it takes both parents to be in the home, because every young man, even young women, they need that father figure in the home. If that father figure is not in the home, it is the mother's duty to get some type of male mentor to be, you know, again, you know, I don't know what the situation is.
A grandfather, an uncle, a grandfather,
my father might have gotten in trouble. The father may be in jail. The father may be out of the picture. Or, you know, again, maybe, you know, again, you know, maybe the mother just, you know, had a child out of wedlock. Again, this is where the structure of the family is so important. So in order to answer your question, to resolve that, the damage is already done. The situation is already done. The child is here. You're a single mom. You know, it is at this point, at this stage in the game, she needs to, at this point, get someone like yourself, someone like myself, who is doing positive things in the community. And I tell mothers all the time, single mothers in particular, because I sometimes go and talk in the community, and I have speaking engagements, and I talk to these mothers, and I come down on their level, like, look, this is the real. This is what it is. They're either going to learn from the streets, they're going to learn from jail, or they're going to learn from me and you working together, because it takes a village to raise these children. Okay, I'm a firm believer of that. It takes a village to, you know, and you got some immature mothers that are trying to punish the father or the baby's father, you know, because, you know, for whatever reason, and they're using the child as a pawn. Oh, well, if you ain't paying child support, I ain't going to let you see your son. Or if you ain't paying child support, I'm not going to see your daughter. You know, so the male there in the society seems to be demonizing the male. You know, the black males are being under attack, and then if there's no father, and they know, the society knows, if you take away the father, if you break up the family, it's like the devil says, he comes to destroy and divide. That's his job. His job is to divide and conquer the family. And if you can, and obviously he's being very successful in doing that. So we need to combat against that. We need to bring back the strong black male image back into the community. Even I've talked to some of these so-called dope dealers or pimps. You know, I go straight to the hood. I'm not afraid to, like I said, I tell people all the time, don't let the suit fool you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let this, you know, clean-cut brother suit. I've been there. I've seen it. I know what it is. You know, so I don't have a problem with going into the hood and talking to some of these OG cats and be like, look, man, let these young men, you know what I'm saying, make their choice, but don't steer them the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? So if you really trying to help the community, if you're really trying to help or be your brother's keeper, then be a mentor to them. Keep them off the street. Now, you made your choice. You made your career out of being a criminal. If that's your choice, then that's your choice. But don't take these young people with you. Don't coach them into being what you're trying to be. So to answer your question and reiterate my answer to you regarding what can be done is for these single mothers to take the responsibility, because at the end of the day, it's not about you no more. It's not about the problem that's going on between your baby daddy or whatever the situation may be. It's about the well-being of that child. He's a child. No matter if he's 15, 16, 17, until he hits 18, he's considered, in our society, an adult. And even then, they still need mentorship. They still have a childlike mentality. So we need to show them a positive option, alternative option, if they don't want to go to college, or if they feel like the college is not meant for them. Again, you know, this is why we want to communicate with the mother, the single mother, and say, let's work together. What do you need? Once they come into Ox School of Construction Resource Center, we're going to give them the work. We're going to give them boot camp style training, and failure is not an option. Failure is not an option here.
It cannot be an option.
It's not an option here. So you will succeed. You will be a master mason. You will be a master roofer. You will be a master carpenter. You will be a master. But again, we're going to make sure that you put in that work, and we're going to give you that work, because I'd rather you be here in this classroom than be out there in the streets and be a target. We've seen the Ferguson situation. We've seen the brother that got choked out and killed in New York. I mean, you know, you got Black Lives Matter rampant and raving. Again, we have a problem with being reactive rather than proactive.
Proactive, right. Let me ask you something.
Proactive.
I'm going to ask you something. You touched on it earlier. You said that the young lady, if the man is not, the young man is not involved for whatever reason, she has to pull some type of male figure whether it be a neighbor, a coach, a grandfather, uncle. But, you know, in the average African community today, not about 40 years ago, but today, they're absent. You know, the average family, when they are doing well, if they have a income, they are moving out of the neighborhood. And like you said, you know, why move somewhere else? Rebuild your community. Who can she really look to if the availability is not there? I mean, she has to really be creative and find some. Well, of course, like, or if they do stay, if a productive family do stay, and I've been hearing this now for about the past 5 years. Quote, I'm going to quote some OGs that are working, that take care of their family. No kids don't want to hear anything. No kids don't want to hear nothing. They're a waste of time. Again, another population, not only the educational system, you know, even segments of our population in our neighborhoods are throwing up their hands in the air. How can we change the attitude of the adult black men that are working, that are being productive, to change that attitude toward, and I'm going to bring in another attribute that's really come alive in the last 2 years. Older black men are afraid of young black men.
Yes.
That's a growing phenomenon. And I can remember when I was 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I mean, we had a black politician, black military on the block. They stayed in the neighborhood. And they were involved with us. They were involved. And if they spent only 5 minutes to say something to us, they said something. Like, it appears that a lot of black men are turning their backs on young black men. And that's what I've been observing for the last couple of years. And that is a growing phenomenon. What can we do to address that issue?
Well, if you have you have the old school, I understand exactly your question. It is a very, really good question. I'm glad you asked that question, because that is one of the biggest issues that we have. We have the older generation. See, they've done their job. They've done their job in the 60s and the 70s. You know, during they marched with Martin Luther King, or for those that were marching with
Black Panthers, Malcolm X.
You know, so they feel like they've done their job back in the 60s. Now it's our turn. Okay, so I don't, like, for my father, I don't expect my father to understand the plight of what's going on with young black people today. I don't, because I know what he's going to. But again, I don't neglect or I don't negate his wisdom. I still need his wisdom. However, the times have changed. So I don't expect my father to know what the young people are experiencing today, because times have changed. So the older black men, like my father, I wouldn't say my father. My father has no fear. My father was in the military as well. But they do have an innate fear for these young black men, because these young black men are armed now.
Yeah,
you know, they popping. They so immature. They don't even know how to manage their own firearm. And here they are. Our communities have been flooded with not only drugs, especially when the crack epidemic took place.
Of the 80s.
They flooded our drugs. They flooded our communities with crack. They flooded our communities with guns. I just saw a documentary on Chicago like 3 days ago. This is why I'm glad you asked that question, because in Chicago, they was like, how's the violence going to stop? Somebody is just bringing, like, I'm talking about high-powered weapons.
Mm.
You know, so is the NRA screaming about that? No. The lives that are being lost, are they screaming about that? No. Black-on-black crime, are they screaming about that? No.
You know, so again, in order to change the mindset, so we can't depend on these older generation of black men, men that are in the age of we were the baby boomers, guys like yourself. I'm 45 years old. I think you're probably the same age as me. You may be.
Oh, I'm much older. I'm much older. I'm in my 50s.
I saw your picture. That's why I kind of figured you were probably about my age. But you look good,
thank
brother. You look good.
Thank you.
I give you kudos. You look good.
Thank you.
For your age.
Thank you.
But going back to my answer, you know, we need to stop relying on, because again, they've, after coming out of the Black Panthers, after walking with Martin Luther King, after marching with Malcolm X, eventually what took place was a lot of those older black men became a part of the system. They just said,
right.
They just gave up. They gave up. They like, you know what? I did my part back in the 30s and the 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, and I'm done, you know, but really, we got the only way that they're going to pass that baton to us. We have to be worthy of taking on that baton and taking on that responsibility.
That's what, David.
So,
newsflash. That's what, David. Newsflash. We dropped the baton. I'm sorry. I took off. You said something that you sound like me sometimes. We dropped the baton. with the baton was passed to us, we blew it. My generation blew it. We blew it. We got into the disco, the dancing. Generation, you know, black folks love to dress good. But get into the fact that became a priority. We forgot about image. We forgot about imagery in the home. We forgot about, you know, we had like three educations. The religion education, of course, some community of Muslims, the black Muslims, and some community of black Christians, whatever. And we had the traditional education. But at home, we got the culture education. That's absent.
We don't have the cultural education anymore. We've given that up. So we have to actually get back to that. In order to get back to that, this is why Ox School of Construction Resource Center exists, because we want to bring these young men back to that. Because we were the cream of the crop of society. We built pyramids. We came from being kings and queens to now, you know, listening to mumble rap. You know, that was systematic. That was systematic. That was done for a reason. You know what I'm saying? When they started taking these programs out of the schools, where were the parents? The parents should have been out protesting just like Black Lives Matter. Education matters. Education matters. We should have been out there as parents screaming and hooping and hollering, you know, again, being proactive rather than reactive. We wait till the problem happens. We wait till a Ferguson situation happens. We wait till a Philandro Castillo situation happens. You know what I mean? We wait for those, and then we react. We react, and then, you know, I was in California when the Rodney King riots took place. I was there. I was in the hood.
I saw it on TV.
I was there. I lived in California for 14 years. I was there. I happened to be at the Crenshaw Mall when the panel down
right
the earth
the
of not guilty.
Oh, you was in the middle.
You know?
I was in the middle.
So I was right down the street from the first gas station that they blew up.
Whoa.
So I was there. I saw the reaction. I saw the when they gave those five officers not guilty verdicts, I saw the reaction. Brothers and sisters tore up California, tore up L.A. You know what I'm saying? And not only L.A., it spread through almost 40 to 50 states.
Yes.
So, again, we're being reactive to a situation that we could have been proactive on. And we could have been, again, if we don't want to put our kids in public schools, then let's pool our resources and let's build our own school. You know what I'm saying?
And you know what? I just want to add something to that. Yeah, let's build our own schools, but let's not build the same schools as them.
Yes.
Because we got enough thinkers. We got enough thinkers around this country, around this world. We got enough thinkers that can sit down and build an Afro, I use the term, Afrocentric curriculum for our children. And going back to what you said about Black Lives Matter being protested and whatnot, you know, that all well good is needed, but we don't have the stamina. You know, and this is one thing I can say about the civil rights movement. They marched for many, many years. My mom and dad was part of the civil rights movement. They marched for years and years and years and years. And we marched for a couple of days and said, okay, nothing's done.
Yeah, then it's back to normal. It's back to
normal.
Business as usual.
Status quo.
Yeah, we cannot afford, again, failure is not an option. We have to stay the course. We have to change the dynamics of how we think, how we approach this battle. And again, we need to start doing for ourselves. Why are we, I mean, the Asians, they do for themselves. The Jews, they do for themselves.
I'm from Brooklyn. I'm from Brooklyn. Well, I lived in Brooklyn for many years. The Hasidic Jews had a section in Brooklyn.
Streets you can't even go down. They got a whole district.
And cops ain't going up there shooting their kids now, are they? Cops ain't going up there shooting their kids.
You only see a bunch of cops in Flatbush. You only see a bunch of cops in Prospect Park. You only see a bunch of cops in Queens. You only see a bunch of cops in certain areas and districts. So it's almost like they cage you into a system. So instead of we changing and say, we always was taught. I remember my grandmother taught me something. He said, you know, when someone gives you a lemon, you better learn how to make lemonade. And make it sweet and juicy and icy. So we got to take our lemon that we've been given and turn it into lemonade. We have to do that. We have to take on that responsibility. And we got enough teachers. We got enough, like Malcolm X said, you want to be a bunch. It's almost like we got a bunch of, I don't know if anybody's seen that movie with Jamie Foxx, the Django. We got a bunch of Djangos out there. I'm talking about the guy who played the, I think it was, what's his name? Samuel L. Jackson. I believe he was the one who played.
He was the butler.
We got a lot of brothers like that in the neighborhood. And mostly these older brothers who have given, these same brothers at one time was marching with Martin. They was marching with Malcolm. They was marching in the Black Panthers. They have now become the Samuel L. Jackson in the movie Django. We still love them. They still part of us. We still love them, but we got to almost veer ourselves away from those types of elements and those types of, you don't do nothing. Don't go out there and do it. You know, master ain't going to like that. You know, we're not trying to hear that no more. These young people ain't trying to hear that no more. That's why you see a lot of young people veering away from the church. They're looking at the church. I remember talking to I went to the hood over at the basketball court the other day, and I was talking to some of these young people. I was like, well, why y'all not going to church? You know, that's a positive outlet. They said, man, the church ain't nothing but a pimp game. So I approached some of these churches. There's a Black church on every corner. There's a Black church. There's at least 50 churches in our hood. In one hood, we got about 50 Black churches, and they all preaching against each other or competing with each other instead of unifying the community. And I'm calling them out. And for the ones that are doing the right job, doing the, you know, being Christ-like and doing what Christ would do, doing what Jesus would do, I commend them. But for the majority of them, they're perpetuating the status quo to maintain their 501c3, their nonprofit organization. For them, it's a business. So
that's all it is.
Recognize game. These young people, they know about game. They've been told the game. They've been taught the game. They seen the game on the street, so they recognize a pimp when they see one. These young people ain't stupid.
They're very advanced.
So, you know, that's why they not. So when you said, you know, they ain't trying to hear that no more. These young people ain't trying to hear that no more. They done hearing that. Unless you coming up with a solution, a viable solution, and not only a solution, but literally take them by the hand Just like a dope dealer would take these young kids by the hand and say, look, this is how you cook the dope. This is how you cut the dope. This is how you bag the dope. This is how you go out on this block and get this money. We got to do the same thing with our School of Construction Resource Center. We got to do the same thing for these young people that want to become teachers or doctors or lawyers. We got to take these young people by the hand and literally spoon feed them. Number one, a lot of these teachers in public schools say, oh, these kids, they have ADHD or they have ADD. That's not the kid. That's not the point. These kids learn so fast.
And let me tell you something. I worked with kids ADHD, ADD some years ago. Let me tell you something. Hundreds.
These kids don't fit that category.
They were diagnosed falsely. They was evaluated falsely. And most of these black young boys, I'm telling you, Dr. Kadufo, he wrote a 4-volume book called The Conspiracy. And this was back in the 80s. The Conspiracy to...
Yes.
What was the book? The Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys. And they still do it now. And now they're doing it through hip-hop. First, hip-hop was the DNA of the black community. Now, they become that butler in the Django.
And like I said, that's why
they are the new coons. I'm telling you, they're the new coons and the new Uncle Toms.
Yes, absolutely. You hit it right on the nail, Brother Kenneth. You hit it right on the nail. And that's how we resolve the issues, by getting rid of these, not necessarily because, again, they're going to die off anyway. They're not going to live too long. They only got maybe 10 more years left on this earth, or maybe, for God willing, they got maybe 20 years left. You know, so again, you know, they're not going to be here long. So the next generation that's going to be in charge is us, me and you, because we're in our 40s. So we got another 30, 40 years to make a difference, you know, before we pass the baton on to our next generation. So it's our job. It's our duty. So I'm talking
to the generation behind us, Generation X, and they are lethal, because they the ones, Generation X, are the ones that brought back that consciousness thought. That real deep consciousness thought with Jungle Brothers, that movement, that Jungle Brothers, that Public Enemy movement, they're right behind that generation.
I grew up around that
right
time.
Behind.
Yeah.
Huh?
I grew up around Jungle Brothers. I grew up around those artists. You know, so I heard when Queen Latifah and African Bambaataa and all. I grew up around this era.
Yes.
You know, so. KRS-One and Biz Markie and all, you know, it was kind of.
Well, my boy was Chuck D.
Chuck D.
I love Chuck D.
In Atlanta. Chuck D in Atlanta. Me and Chuck D had a really good conversation in over in Five Points in Atlanta. And, you know, that was another, he was another inspiration to me, which is why we created the Ox School of Construction Resource Center. He was like, brother, that's a great idea. We need to teach these young people and pull these young people, pull their coat. And again, if it's not music, again, I'm just going to stay in my lane. My lane is I'm a master at construction. I can build a 40-foot high rise, or I can build a 2-bedroom house, you know, with my eyes closed. You know,
right.
So I want to impart that wisdom onto these young people. So I want to come into the hood. I want to come and buy back the block and show these young people, look, you can buy the block yourself. You can buy you a house, you know, and if you be patient and do the due diligence, let me show you how to buy this house, repair this house, and flip this house. That'll be your new game. That's your new hustle right there.
Right.
It's your new hustle, and you ain't got to worry about that element of being shot at or the cops knocking on your door or coming busting down your door thinking that you got drugs in your home and things of that nature. And this can be done with even guys who already made mistakes in their life. They already have a felony on their record. There were two felonies or whatever the case may be. You know, this can be for them as well. So that's why I want to take Ox School of Construction into the hood. I want to go and show them. I want a hands-on technique to say, look, let me pull you by the coat, young blood. Let me holler at you for a minute. Let me show you how to lay this block. Let me show you how to put down this roof. And then I'm going to show you how to start your own business. Then I'm going to show you how to go and engage with the homeowner and engage with a customer or a client. You know, I'm going to show you that firsthand with me supervising. I'm not just going to give you some piece of paper and say, learn this, and then kick you out of class and say, go try to do it. We're literally going to take you by the hand. We're going to go to the homeowner's home. We're going to talk to the homeowner. We're going to say, hey, homeowner, you got this issue in your home. You want to get this repaired? I have a student that's willing to do that. He's going to talk to you about giving you a comprehensive estimate. He's going to talk to you about, you know, what, you know, his career is and what he's trying to, what his aspirations are. And then from there, he's going to, you know, give you a definitive schedule of when he can come back and start the project. And this is what the cost will be based on, you know, what he's as a student. Again, the homeowner wins because they get the job done for a fraction of the cost, because we're a nonprofit organization. We only operate off of donations. So whatever that homeowner, you know, feels in their heart that they want to donate, they can donate to the program, so that way we can get more students to enroll in the program.
So let me ask you something, Brother David. How has been the acceptance of them learning a skill?
Very great. I mean, they're very excited because, again, these young people, they want a skill. They don't want to go to McDonald's. They really don't want to go to McDonald's.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If they feel like, man, I'm not only going to make $10 an hour, but if I become a roofer, I can make $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to make $10 an hour and I got to, you know, punch in, punch out, and I got the manager on my back all day, all, you know, all night. A lot of these young people, again, most of these young men, they already been exposed to the streets. So they already see that the hustle game is where it's at. They don't have to worry about, you know, punching in no clock. They ain't got to worry about, but again, you know, they're taught to be so persistent with flipping that pack.
Right.
And if you can take that same energy and just convert it into saying, flip this house, flip this roof, flip this block work, flip this window installation, you know what I'm saying? Flip this drywall. It's the same scenario, just different product.
Right.
And
but
you
know what?
You know
what the enemy is? It's not white folks anymore. You know what the enemy is? Is our own images, our own stereotypes. These, and like I said, they so influence video games of shooting violence and also the music, which glorifies gangsterism. You know, I think we have a caller. Hold on for a second. Good evening. Welcome to Black Urban America. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, greetings, brothers. I just had a question for your guest. I just wanted to know if he had information regarding the organization that he has, that he could put the information out there so we can find out how to support him more.
Oh, my fault, David. My fault, brother. Please provide all the information that you can for our downloaders and listeners.
Yes, well, we have a GoFundMe page. If you want to donate, we have what we call a $1 program. All you have to donate is $1, 4 quarters, 10 dimes, 20 nickels, 100 pennies. We don't care how it comes, you know. So we have our GoFundMe page. We also have our website, www.schoolofox.com. Again, that's www.schoolofox.com. That's our website for those that are already subcontractors. If you live in the state of Florida, we can pre-qualify you to take the state board exam. And it's an open book test, by the way. This is an open book test. It's a two-part exam, which is easy, but a lot of them think that it's a difficult test to take, but it's really not. And I'm going to show them proven ways. Again, we've already helped 400-plus subcontractors become general contractors. So now you can compete with the big boys. You can bid on a job that's $6 million with a GC license. Okay, so that's our website. That's www.schoolofox.com. And then we have our Ox School of Construction Resource Center, 501(c). You can check us out on Facebook. Just click on Facebook and go to the search browser and just type Ox School of Construction Resource Center. If you live in the state of Florida, you want to enroll, or you know someone that's in the military that came home and they're finding it difficult to find a job, have them inbox me, and I will walk them through the enrollment process. And then from there, again, this is a free class. These are free classes. We only operate off of pure donations. That's it. So, again, we basically take on enough students that our donations will allow us to, because, again, we're trying to work out a deal with Home Depot and Lowe's to get them to donate tools, to get them to donate equipment as well as material for the students to participate in the class, because they need whatever that student wants to major in, whether they want to be a block mason. They're going to need trowels. They're going to need steel-toed boots. They're going to need a tool belt. You know, so we're trying to work out a deal with Home Depot and Lowe's to get them their foundation to do a joint venture with us, so that way we can get equipment and materials. And even there's some homeowners that may have some extra blocks that that are sitting in their backyard that's been sitting back there for years, lumber that's been sitting back there for years. If they're not being used, we're taking those donations as well. Equipment such as concrete mixers or hammers or saws or circular carpentry saws, we're taking those donations as well, because these students can use it, and then we can get them started. Once they graduate the program, we're going to give them a gift packet to where they can get started, and then we walk them through the process of knowing how to manage their business as well once they decide to get started and start their own company. So those are the three ways you can get in contact. My telephone number is 321-527-1110. Again, that's 321-527-1110. You can send me a text message, or you can call me directly. I'm always accessible for any single mothers out there that need a positive male role model, mentor, and you want your son to get in contact with me, or you want to ask me some questions, and I can give some type of advice to your son or daughter. You know, in regards to going into the engineering field or going into the construction industry, because there's a lot of women here in Florida that are actually in the construction industry, and not necessarily swinging a hammer, but a lot of them are from an administrative level. You know, they know how to run a construction company because they know how to do accounts payable, accounts receivable. They know how to submit submittals and submit estimates to bid on a job. So a lot of women, they have that academic acumen to do that, whereas the men, they may want to be the one to swing the hammer. They may be the one to want to, you know, chop up the block and lay the block. So, again, this is not just for young men. This is also for the young women as well. So if you feel like you have a really good secretarial acumen or administration acumen, you can be in the construction industry as well.
Okay. Well, guess what, David? We only got a couple of minutes left. Why don't you sum up your program or your thoughts or your philosophy?
Well, my philosophy is failure is not an option. Failure is not an option. We want to be able to take – we want to open up an school of construction in every hood. New Jersey, Baltimore, Maryland. Matter of fact, I have a young brother that actually – I remember I'm going to tell you a quick story before I let you guys go. I had a brother here who – actually my cousin. He started selling juice and water. He was selling juice and water. He got his vendor's license for $35. He went to Walmart and bought a case of water and a case of Welch's juice. He used to go out here in Orlando into the busiest intersections, and he would sell these juice and water for $1. $1. And you know Florida is very hot, you know, during the summertime. And so he bought a case for $24. So you do the math. He bought a case for $3 or $5, and then he sold it was a 24-pack of water, juice and water, and he sold each one for $1. So he made $24 after what he spent, which was $5. You know, if you do the tax and do the math and whatnot, he actually walked away with $15 off of each case. So now he's in Maryland. He's in Baltimore right now with 20 carts. He's employing right now 15 kids, and they all got their own block. And they're bringing in major revenue. They just started their own sorbet company. They're now selling. You can see that on my Facebook page too. If you go to my Facebook page,
sorbet,
you'll see Al Tahid. He's a graphic artist as well. He does airbrushing. He airbrushes Timberlands. He airbrushes Air Force One Nikes. He airbrushes hoodies, baseball caps, fitted caps. He does all of that right now. And he's got the juice company running solid. And that was only 3 years ago. That was only 3 years ago. So the sum up is is not hard as you think it is. You know, to your listeners, I just want to sum up that, you know, again, Ox School of Construction Resource Center is the avenue that if you are interested in going into the engineering or the construction field, if you live in the state of Florida, until we can actually get to your state, you know, again, we want to make sure that you prototype work is done, because again, they always say clean up your backyard first before you try to clean up somebody else's backyard. So once we have everything solidified here, which we already do, we are now getting ready. My next move is to go to Detroit, because I have a buddy of mine in Detroit. He's already talked to the city council members over there in Detroit, and I'm heading in December. I'm going to Detroit to start a campus in Detroit, and then after I'm done putting that our school of construction campus there, then I want to go to Baltimore, because I got my cousin, he's telling me, dude, you got to come to Baltimore with Ox School of Construction. So I want to be able to go from Florida to Baltimore, I'm sorry, from Florida to Detroit, from Detroit to Baltimore, and hopefully eventually I'd like to come out there to New Jersey where you guys are.
No, and I'm in Atlanta.
I'm in Atlanta. Okay, well. Atlanta. I'd like to come out there to Atlanta and open up a campus in Atlanta, and then from there go to New Jersey and open up a campus there, and then eventually get to California and go to Louisiana and New Orleans, Fifth Ward, and again, just go to every hood in all 50 states. I'd like to open up a campus in every hood in 50 states and be able to put these young brothers and sisters on, and also military veterans that are coming home from deployment that are finding it difficult to find a job. So, again, anybody that wants to get in contact with me, I believe Mr. Kenneth is going to provide you with my information from my website as well as from my Facebook page as well. And you guys can contact me anytime, 24 hours a day. I'm accessible. If I don't answer the phone, that means I'm in a meeting trying to, set up another campus. You guys can leave a text message or just leave a voicemail, and I will get back with you less than or before 24 hours.
Thanks a lot, Brother David. I'm going to be in contact with you. As a matter of fact, I'd like to have you come on before the year is out and everything, or when you make your moves to Detroit or what have you, we'll have you on the radio.
Thanks a lot for coming on the show, David. Yeah, you're doing great things, and again, I appreciate you and your listeners for taking the time to hear what we have to offer. And again, like I said, it takes a village for us to bring that unification together. So, and I live this. This is not something. Again, leadership is not a game; it's a duty. You know,
that's
so
right.
It's my duty
and a journey and a journey.
Exactly.
All right, brother. Good night.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening, you guys.
All right, you too, David.